Remember, if anyone asks, we're a nice, normal talk show. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
Mandate the wearing of masks.
I would do everything in my possible to make it required that people had to wear masks in public.
Right now in the United States, people should not be walking around with masks.
You're sure of it? Because people are listening really closely to this.
Right now, people should not be walking. There's no reason to be walking around with a mask. When you're in the middle of an outbreak, wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better, and it might even block a droplet, but it's not providing the perfect protection that people think that it is. And often, there are unintended consequences. People keep fiddling with the mask, and they keep touching their face.
And can you get some schmutz sort of staying inside there?
Of course. But when you think masks, you should think of healthcare providers needing them and people who are ill.
Hi there. That was Biden. And then, of course, I know the nonsense that spews out of Biden. And then wanting masks for everybody. And then that, of course, followed up by Anthony Fauci, our favorite little tyrant, who doesn't wear a mask himself most of the time, is photographed without. I saw a mask with a photograph of him with his mask around his chin. I thought, that's a good mask. Anyway, welcome to the Kate Daly Show. I play that clip a lot because I feel like you're hearing the mainstream media hype and fear and crazy and insanity 24/7, and I don't think I could play it enough, actually, because it's in his own words. And Fauci's admitting that people should not be wearing masks. And so just, you know, welcome to the show. Hi, Uncle Milty.
Hello.
Chris Ann Hall will join us next week. She is on the road today. And so we do want to talk about something that she actually wrote, though. And I think this might be pretty beneficial in light of what's going on. So a couple of things. Biden is not, he's still the presumptive nominee. He's not the nominee for the Democratic Party. And I realize all this is political theater, trust me. But we have to comment on it because it's actually going on right now. So we might as well comment on this. But that doesn't happen for 4 more days, okay? And in light of that, CNN and their big talking point for Kamala today is, ever since she was nominated, is for VP by him, okay, designated for VP, is the fact that she can take over for him in a heartbeat. Now, think about the last presidential elections. Did you ever remember that being a selling point for the VP? If anything, they're afraid of that. So, yeah, no.
I think what they said was she could take over for him in the lack of a heartbeat.
In lack of a heartbeat. Yes, thank you for summing that up. That's their selling point for this candidate for VP, so for their party. And so it'll be interesting to see if there's a bait and switch at the Democratic nominating process.
Convention.
Virtual,
yeah.
Do you even call it? Virtual convention.
The virtual convention.
Ugh.
It's going to be exciting.
Oh, it's a show. I can't even say the first word of that. It's a show. It'll be a show. Dog and pony show for sure, because the same people, like I said yesterday, are behind her, like Trevor Loudon said, I'm sorry, are Obama's Marxists. That's mm-hmm. who got him into office. They staked a claim for her. So.
And there are lots of similarities.
Yeah, they want her. Mm-hmm. There's a lot
between
of
her and
yes.
Baraki.
Yes.
You know, she's not black.
No, she's Jamaican and Indian.
Jamaican and Indian.
Mm-hmm.
And as a matter of fact, at one time she made it a very big point that she was Indian.
Yes. Yes.
You know, like that was more important than being black.
Right. But then Biden said he wanted to pick a black woman. So then she became black.
Yes.
So
then
now she identifies as black.
Yeah.
Well, I identify as a supermodel. What do you identify as? I'm a supermodel with an 18-year-old rear end. Sweet. I'm happy.
I identify as your neighbor.
Oh, my God. This is why I love him. All right. Let's talk a little bit about Chris Ann Hall. The founders established a criteria of natural born citizen upon our president for a really important reason, and this is it. Natural born citizen meant to the framers that a child born of two parents who were citizens of the United States, this is from Chris Ann Hall, by the way, of the United States at this time of the birth of that child. And if you're not aware of this, or perhaps disagree, then you have to, you know, there's articles that are based on this. And of course, there's a whole lot of reading that you can partake of. But she goes on to say a person who is born of just one parent who is a citizen of the United States is a citizen by birth, but not natural born citizen. A lot of people don't know this. Someone cannot hold or have held dual citizenship with a foreign country and be a natural born citizen. Natural born means both parents. So the fact that we are confused by this qualification, or perhaps even wish to alter this qualification, must be because we do not understand why the qualification was established in the first place. She's right. So before we take a stand either way, we have to consider the reasons why this qualification by the framers, why they established this in the American Constitution. The whole reason the president was supposed to be natural born citizen is because the framers had a history, a full history of foreign kings imposing foreign law and foreign favor upon the people and knew how dangerous foreign influence was to liberty. So George Washington spent a great bit of effort trying to drive this understanding home in his farewell address of 1796. Mm. And this is what he said. You want to say it?
Against the insidious wiles of foreign influence, I conjure you to believe me, fellow citizens. The jealousy of a free people ought to be constantly awake, since history and experience prove that foreign influence is one of the most baneful foes of a Republican government.
Foreign influence. Think about a lot of the people in these parties that come over here and get into office. Mm-hmm. Elon and all Barack and Michelle. I mean, all these people, right, that get into office, well, and they're from somewhere else. It's kind of interesting.
Well, you know, everybody realizes that Congress is a big problem.
Yes.
Look at how many. See, there was no restriction to be an American citizen, to be in Congress, a natural born citizen. We have tons of foreign people in our Congress, and most of them are Democrats, and most of them are Marxists.
Yeah.
And they're in our Congress.
That was exactly my point. I mean, look at this crowd and look where they're coming from and look what they're all about. It's so obvious. So she said, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, so there gives the credence for worrying about the foreign influence.
And if you remember in the Federalist Papers, they talked about, it was talked about as far as they wanted a period of time when somebody came here to be able to make sure that they were really adopting freedom, the American way, because they didn't want them bringing their socialism with them. They didn't want them bringing the ideas of their past country with them. And so they were actually pretty well equipped to, you know, they knew that this was going to happen, and they knew that people had to have a period of time too, that it couldn't be instantaneous. So anyway, Washington knew from his history the real dangers of foreign influence, and part of Washington's British Constitution was a document called the Grand Remonstrance of King Charles I, with a letter in his hands, 1641, in which the people of Great Britain listed many grievances against their King Charles I. Right? They indicated that these grievances were indicative of a larger design to overturn and undermine liberty of the people and the law of the land. Boy, sure sounds familiar. One of the grievances illustrated how foreign influence and foreign law have contributed to the destruction of liberty. See how things never change? So this is what it said. Such counselors and couriers as for private ends have engaged themselves to further the interests of some foreign princes and states to the prejudice of His Majesty and the state at home. And in another part of the British Constitution, this time the English Bill of Rights in 1689, the people of Great Britain actually require an oath of their king and his council to shun all foreign influence. I mean, what do we call them? Foreign invaders, too? I mean, there's lots of references of foreign influence or foreign invaders or foreign this or foreign that. But really and truly, a natural born citizen has two parents that were born here.
She doesn't have any.
No. She doesn't have any.
But she was born here.
Yeah. So interesting. So protecting the United States from foreign influence was very prominent in the minds of our framers, especially in the office of president. At the time of the creation of the Constitution of the states, there were no natural born citizens. So an exception was made until that qualification could be met. And it's in Article 2, Section 1, Clause 5.
No person except a natural born citizen or a citizen of the United States at the time of the adoption of this Constitution shall be eligible to the office of president.
Right. The exception to natural-born citizen requirement was that the president must be a citizen of the United States at the time of the adoption of the Constitution. And Joseph Story, in his commentaries on the Constitution in 1833, explained that this was to ensure that people who were patriots of the Revolution could be considered for office and nobody else. Yeah, which is good.
Well, you couldn't demand anybody be a natural-born citizen the day after that we won the Revolutionary War.
Yeah,
I mean, you can't demand that. So right. It had to be enough generations had to go by where everyone who was a citizen was a natural-born citizen at that time.
Right. So it's an important distinction that helps us understand why the natural-born citizen requirement is a must. The president is the commander-in-chief of the military. Our framers knew that their history, that it would be extremely dangerous to allow someone of foreign influence to exercise power over our military specifically. Yeah.
So here's a kind of a point I want to make at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Kamala Harris had a Jamaican father and an Indian mother who were not citizens of the United States when she was born. They were legal aliens. Had she been born while they were in India visiting grandma, she would not be a U.S. citizen.
Yeah.
A natural-born U.S. citizen.
Right.
So what they're saying is the only reason that she is considered a natural-born citizen is because she was born here, even though it was to two foreign nationals.
Right. So Chrisanne Hall says, just as the birth of a child on U.S. soil does not create citizenship in the parent, the birthplace of the child does not establish the status of natural-born citizen.
Right.
So throughout history, citizenship has been based on the criteria of the parents. It is not linked to the child. The criteria of natural born citizen does not deviate from that norm.
Yeah, because at any time, her parents could have taken her to India or Jamaica and made her a citizen of those countries.
Yeah, she can't have the dual. Yeah, yeah.
At any time.
Interesting. So it was the entire reason for establishing the criteria for a president to be natural-born citizen, to help eliminate any possibility that the commander-in-chief of the military would be influenced. And let me tell you who's behind Kamala Harris. Wow. The Marxists at large. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show.
Balance of Nature, changing the world one life at a time.
I've been on this Balance of Nature for quite some time now. I know that what you put in your body is critical to your health. I listen to AM radio out of Dallas, and you have these people on there witnessing about the difference it's made in their life. Now, all these people aren't lying about this. I hadn't even had as much as a cold since I've been taking this, and I'm telling you, my energy level has increased unbelievable. So I'm impressed with it.
Experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 800-246-8751. That's 800-246-8751. Or by going to balanceofnature.com and make sure to receive this special radio offer by using discount code KATE.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Welcome back. Kate Daly Show. Interesting week this week, isn't it? You know, it is a dog and pony show. We all know that. And it just always strikes me that it's always full of surprises, too. You know, things we're just not expecting. So that's why I think maybe something funky might happen at that the Democratic virtual blobbity gook convention. But anyway, just wanted to say for the record, does it actually matter? Well, I really wish they were just saying this is who's behind her rather than the whole dog and pony show of Kamala. But even Chris Ann Hall weighing in said she's not eligible to be the vice president or president. So the kind of interesting, and it matters. It matters. It should matter to everybody. I would hope it matters. It didn't seem to matter with Barack. So they
played a game on us with Barack.
Yes.
Oh, you're just a racist. Oh, yeah. You're a birther.
Oh, yes, the birther.
The birther movement.
You know, Trump came out about that pretty strong.
Yes, he did.
He was actually, that's when people started turning on him in politics, when he started bringing that up and saying the birth certificate.
You know, there are still people who say the evidence is there to show that Barack Obama, his own brother, actually says he was not born in the United States.
Yeah.
So, we had an illegal president.
Yeah.
Are we going to let it happen again?
And elected him twice.
Are we going to let it happen again?
Mm-hmm.
Because the same argument will come up. I'm surprised it hasn't already, because this has already been a conversation for 2 days. I haven't heard the term birther used yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you notice how Ukraine kind of flew out the window, too? His admittance of handing over, you know, the bribes with Ukraine. And that's actually, none of that's even talked about. It's just not even talked about. The focus is more on diminishing the dementia rather than all of the crimes that have taken place and all the things that he's admitted to. Kind of interesting, too, with Joe Biden. But yes, I mean, if they say one more time that he's that she can take over for him because he won't last in office, I don't know how many times you can say it without it becoming the biggest joke, that you would prop up a president for president for that role, and with the idea that he will never, ever actually be president. I mean, it's just strange. I have never seen that happen. Have you? I've never seen that happen before. And so there's that. With Kamala, she has quite the history and quite the past. There's a lot about her. I played a lot of that yesterday. There's just so much to know about her as far as not being very qualified for this, and also just her whole past. She has to, they actually are scrubbing her past left and right, and like say the woman thing, right? I can call her out as a woman. She's horrific. She's one of the most horrific women. She slept her way to the top. Nobody seems to care, especially in the days of Me Too. Where are all those women that are crying, going, oh, I can't believe she did that. My gosh. Anyway, it seems like a lot of feminist women like that do that. And then they want to be excused for that in some way, somehow. It's bizarre. Also, by the way, in New Zealand, a caller called on the show in our local hour. In New Zealand, now, if you are testing positive for COVID, they take you from your home and they actually put you in a quarantine center against your will. That's just a positive. That doesn't mean anything.
Well,
positive's positive. It's wrought with fraud.
Now
false
that's
positives.
But that's in New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
They have a quarantine camp in New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have quarantine camps in the United States. We have FEMA camps.
Yeah, they're called something very different. By the way, just a reality check today, there are 331 million Americans, and 330,985, 309 are just fine. Just thought I'd tell you. 7,000 people a day die in America, only 780 to COVID respiratory flu, and that's because it was marked that way, not because they actually had it. Just thought I'd get through that really fast. I wanted to say this about, there's a lot of buzz right now with the, Bill Gates is coming out and saying none of the conspiracy theories about him are true. All the damage everybody is repeating about him and all these things are true, aren't true. So he's trying to salvage that by saying that he really has a vested interest in saving lives. The computer guy from Microsoft wants to save your life so badly, he'd like to force you to take one of his RNA DNA changing vaccines. And so the news is quite busy today referencing the Jacobson versus Massachusetts Supreme Court opinion I'm not going to say rule because they can't rule. They're not rule. These are not rulings. It's an opinion from 1905. And they keep going back to this to salvage the conversation. But I would like you guys to know this, because I don't think we ever, I know Chris Ann Hall was on and we talked about it. And I she maybe emphasized this once, but I think it needs another one just because it's in the news today a lot. And they're referring to this. It was a landmark U.S. Supreme Court case involving vaccination mandates. And the background of this was in 1902, during a smallpox outbreak centered in Massachusetts, Minister Henning Jacobson emphatically refused to comply with the town's order that all its adult citizens had to be vaccinated. Jacobson claimed that when he was a child, the vaccine made him seriously ill. So he was ordered to pay a $5 fine, but refused to pay the $5 fine. So he claimed that the compulsory inoculation violated both the state and federal constitutions. The court rejected this argument. The courts rejected this argument. It was overpaying the fine. I just wanted to make sure people realize that too. Now, it was about the vaccine being mandatory, but listen to this. In the landmark U.S. Supreme Court case involving this vaccination mandate, or laws which require individuals to be vaccinated or face penalties, the Supreme Court recognized that states had absolute authority. That's bad for that with the introduction of public health. It's horrifying. I get it. Granted under the 10th Amendment police power to enforce compulsory vaccination. The decision articulated the belief that individual liberty could be subordinated to the welfare of the general public as well as the collective good of the nation. Thus, liberty in relation to public health may be subordinate to the power of the state. Now, that's very bad. But I do want to say this, though, that the person could be exempted from a physical condition that posed a particular risk for an adverse effect or legitimate religious or philosophical beliefs. And it was about the fine. And so it was about people don't realize that it was about paying the fine. There was an option to pay a fine instead of take the vaccine if he wouldn't do it. But people don't realize that about that. And the media will never tell you this. They'll never tell you it had something to do with a fine, an option for a fine to not have to go through with this too. So that's what the court case was about. It was also about, of course, the power of the state, what they could do to you with public health. And public health is a very socialistic, communistic term. And they can do a lot of things in the name of public health. But part of this decision was that they had to prove the validation for public health. Mm-hmm. If they tried today to prove with the numbers of COVID being far less than flu and respiratory deaths every year, it could not be done in court. Somebody could challenge it all the way because they don't have the validation. They can't even muster up the case for proving the numbers that we're all in dire mm-hmm. straits. So just thought I'd mention that. But it was about the fine. Well, and the fine was an option.
The argument you just stated is mm-hmm. actually what people mean when they say COVID's just like the flu. Mm-hmm. They don't mean they're identical illnesses. Mm-hmm. They mean they're just like each other in the regards of it's not a national emergency.
Mm-hmm.
They're a disease yeah. that kills people. But it's not going to wipe out the country in a matter of a year.
And it never has. No. It never has. So you could honestly take that to court to get them to prove that we were all in danger of being killed. And that's not true. 160 some thousand deaths when we have 260,000 every year from this.
Yeah.
How in the world would those numbers stack up together?
They don't.
They can scare you all they want. They can put the fear of Jesus into you, but it's not going to matter when the numbers are actually stacked up in court on each other. And with the skewed courts, I know somebody could probably lose, but honestly, an honest case, there's yeah. no way a judge could say that
in
that was...
In an honest court, yeah. with an honest judge, in uh-huh. an honest case, you couldn't mm-hmm. win that case
yeah.
for a mandatory vaccination.
Yes.
Of course, we don't live in that world.
Right. And yeah. And despite the fact that the Supreme Court should have never had this type of opinion on this case,
no.
because, of course, you as an individual have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and has nothing to do with the public health. You should actually, most people, if presented with a case of you could die tomorrow because there's a black plague, would opt to take something into their body, and they have every right to voluntarily subject themselves to that, right, not be forced.
It's so interesting, though, mm-hmm, that if you use the my body, my choice argument, that only applies when you're going to murder a baby.
Yeah. Yeah. Not when you want to, not if you don't want to wear a mask,
right,
or get a vaccine,
right,
or anything else. Your body means nothing and it's all public good. But yes, I love how it can only swing one way. And just the hypocritical nature of that whole argument just makes me, it makes me ill. So kids are starting to go back off to school, and I just, like, what Betsy DeVos, what did Betsy DeVos say?
Betsy DeVos this morning on, mm-hmm, Fox News said, we know now that, mm-hmm, six times as many children get sick, mm-hmm, from influenza than do from COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
So we should be able to safely open the schools if we follow the guidelines.
Even though the flu is a lot bigger problem for us than COVID ever will be?
The flu kills six times as many, so let's follow the guidelines for COVID.
Yeah.
I'd rather follow the guidelines for influenza, which were, don't worry about it.
Don't worry.
It's the
flu.
You'll
be fine. So true. So true. 50,000 some odd deaths per year from the flu. I don't think we'll ever get around that, despite the vaccination they keep, touting as the cure-all for everybody. So,
and even if COVID stayed at 160,000 deaths,
mm-hmm,
a year,
mm-hmm,
that's not enough to demand that 320
right,
million people be forced to inject a foreign substance into their body.
I completely
just
agree.
Doesn't work.
I completely agree. Even Thomas Massie came out and said that this is DNA changing. It is a totally different delivery system that they're pretty excited about on the vaccine front, to get this into your body, and you can't undo it. You can't undo it. So just remember that. But the schools are going to, I there's just no doubt in my mind, they're going to make, because that's one way to get around the federal government doing it. You get the schools to mandate a vaccine. You get the businesses to mandate vaccines, mm-hmm, to go to work, to fly, to rent a car, to do anything in America. And you're sunk because you can't live. You don't have life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness anymore. Because you can't live a normal life like that. And so what are we going to do? We have to push back right now.
You know how they got around this for a long time?
What's that?
They couldn't mandate American citizens get a vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
But if you left the country, if you wanted to come back in, you had to have a vaccination. Like if prior to 1960 you went to, mm-hmm, China,
right,
you had to have a yellow fever vaccination to get back in the United States.
Interesting. We'll be right back on the Kate Daly Show, myself and Uncle Milty. And you can go to katedalyradio.com for the podcast of this live show. Be right back.
Balance of Nature.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
I sold my soul to the Federal Reserve. Lincoln was born in a world full of crime. He ended the war without taxing a dime. He created money out of thin air. The Congress should do it with the oath they swear. $16 trillion, and what do you get? Is the company store.
Hi there, welcome back. That's an oldie. Oh, wasn't that Ernie Tubbs? Didn't he do that song? Somebody like that.
I don't know.
Anyway, 1610s. Anyway, welcome back to the show. Make sure you get over to Balance of Nature. I love this supplement. And if you're not going to plan on eating tomatoes and mushrooms and mango and kiwi and apples and 31 fruits and vegetables today, I would tell you, get Balance of Nature. Every single day, you're assured of those nutrients and vitamins. It has a wonderful drink with it that can stabilize your blood sugar, and it has so many nutrients. They could not pack more into this product if they tried. I mean, this one had it all. And the Cadillac of all products, I love this product. Balanceofnature.com, what a supplement. Definitely worth it. Needs to be in your food supply too. And you can go to balanceofnature.com and you can put in the code Kate, K-A-T-E, and you'll get free shipping and 35% off. That's amazing. All right, let's take a couple of phone calls, shall we? Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Oh, hey, it's Andy from Texas. Hey,
hi.
I just wanted to say, isn't that interesting how the Stockholm Syndrome is working really well? I mean, we got Donald Trump down as a victim here.
Yeah.
Everybody's just worried about how that guy's going to feel about how this all comes out. Yeah, he's overseeing everything that's happening to us right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got Witchy Poo, who just married up with, I guess, the Tin Man. Which one did know that? The Scarecrow. He didn't show up with a brain.
All right.
And so he's going for the wizard and whatnot, mm-hmm. and he's got his little girlfriend going there. I'm pretty sure he sniffed her hair before he approved her.
Thank you for
and,
that.
Mm-hmm. He probably rubbed the hair on his legs, too. But isn't it amazing that we have this Stockholm Syndrome going on where everybody thinks that Donald Trump's a victim here, and he's overseeing the biggest implosion of our American everywhere and everybody with QAnon mm-hmm. and everything going on right now. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump can't do any wrong, and yet he's overseeing everything that's wrong right now. That's all I got to say.
Okay.
Thank you, Kate.
All right, you bet. Yeah, I mean, there are opinions like that. There's lots of opinions, and I don't see him as a victim, though. I mean, I think this put him in a corner, definitely, because there's no way to make a right move right now because the public is so brainwashed. But there's a lot of different answers to that comment, for sure.
Yeah, mostly for me, mm-hmm. it's a matter of giving the president credit for having more power than he has.
Mm-hmm.
Because actually, most of what's wrong right mm-hmm. now is not a result of the executive branch.
Mm-hmm.
It's the result of the legislative branch.
And the governors.
Mm-hmm. But the legislative branch is made up of both parties. I'm not giving credit to either one party or the other. But the real problems have come from the legislative branch, not mm-hmm. the executive branch.
Yeah. And I have to agree with that, because what is affecting our lives right now are the governors directly.
Yes.
Your mayors, your governors. And people have seen up close and personal now what their governors are willing to do to them. And it hasn't been pretty. And this is how Gavin Newsom got the nickname Governor Gruesome. You know, to go into a state even like California or right there in Illinois, and we all have these governors that literally turn their back on liberty. I mean, 100%. It's amazing to watch, and sad and pathetic. So that really has nothing to do with Trump specifically. So that's why there's a lot of answers to what that gentleman just said. I'm not going to discount. I just want to follow up with, there's a lot of answers to that. And a lot of blame needs to go around too, because there's like you said, with Congress even, I mean, my gosh, we could talk about that for an hour.
Sure.
And what they haven't done.
Well, it's like Biden today announced mm-hmm. that he would like to mandate that everyone wear masks for the next 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
See, he actually could do that if he had any power, because mm-hmm. the state governors would listen to Biden.
Yeah.
They're not listening to the president.
Right.
But they'd listen to Biden.
Yeah.
Because they want to go that way.
Mm-hmm. I also, there's a couple things, too. Well, number one, it isn't always in the president's hands. You might think the president has all the power because he's the president. But, and this isn't giving him some sort of excuse. What I'm saying is that no matter who is president, you have an awful lot of people working in Washington,
right.
D.C. with their positions, and some of them cannot get thrown out. And so you've got a lot of situations going on right now. You know, in the very beginning, Trump tried to call this out and say this was nothing. This was nothing. And he was almost astonished that people started thinking that this was something, because we locked down the nation with 32 deaths.
Yeah.
It wasn't even a death per state. And he kept trying to say something about it. He kept trying to get in front of the microphone. And I had heard that Fauci was not his decision, but was made for him, that Fauci be at that microphone. So I'm not quite sure if we even understand how many people get to do what they're doing But it's not like the president can go and boot every single person out. People are under that delusion. That can't happen, actually, right now, the way we have it set up.
You know, Biden today, when he made the wear a mask for the next 3 months comment, he said with no doubt 40,000 lives will be saved. 40,000 lives. All we have to do is everyone wear a mask and 40,000. Right. He can't say that equivocally.
No, he cannot.
We've been hearing Fauci say every month for the last 6 months that we're going to hit 200,000 any day.
Yeah.
We still haven't hit it.
Right, right. And there are a lot of powers that be behind the scenes doing a lot of things that that have been planned for quite a long time. You know, look at it this way. Did Trump come out like Biden and say he wanted the mask mandate and that he wanted to make sure it was federal and that he wanted to make sure everybody was forced in every state? Did he come out and do that? Did he come out and did he take out any world leaders while he's been president? Because coups are kind of our thing. And I don't know if people have noticed, but we definitely like to go in and do a coup. So there are many things that haven't happened either. And so sometimes you have to look at through that lens as well. What hasn't happened? Because I can get very critical too, and I want to put blame somewhere. And I want, and he's the easiest by far because the media has also made him the attraction for blame too. But it's easy to stick everything on him like he has all the power. I don't ever want a president to have that much power. So
the thing about the thing that gets me the most is the way they use the number of deaths. If Biden was to say, well, we're very fortunate only 160,000 people have died, they'd love that for him. But the president says we're very fortunate that 160,000 people only have died. It's like he doesn't care about every life.
Right.
And when you look at how things get twisted in that way, you start to realize what's really being manipulated in your own mind when they do that.
Right.
160,000 deaths is not a lot of deaths.
No.
It's not a lot of deaths.
Pales in comparison to flu every year. And flu and respiratory.
But we somehow have, as a people, been convinced that the most important thing we can do is save the life of anyone who might get COVID.
Right.
It can't be done, no matter what. It can't be done.
Yeah.
So you're chasing a rainbow.
Yeah.
The government's got you chasing a rainbow and you're wearing a mask while you chase it.
So true. Now, as the person was citing, because it's a valid comment too, and the Q thing has been interesting. I've commented a lot about that. But just like many presidents in our history, JFK could not get rid of the CIA. People go, well, you had all that power. Why didn't you get rid of the CIA if you knew what they were doing? Because it's not that easy.
Sometimes he tried real hard.
He tried. He was a globalist. You know, he really was. He was a globalist. But on the CIA thing, he was right on the money, okay? He was right on the money. And we didn't agree politically. He believed in more government. He actually probably was more like a soft Republican under our terminology now. But at the same time, he couldn't kick that to the curb, just like, you know, the Great Depression or the instigation of the Federal Reserve. I just played the Federal Reserve song. It's not, some presidents can be in on things and some things can be done without them sanctioning it, too. So I'm well aware of that. And I try to take it piece by piece on the show. Because I know that's been a cause for concern for people, you know, is he in on it? I don't think at this point, I don't know. I look at the last 4 years and I'm not seeing that.
The best way to me, to judge what a president's doing is what he signs and what he vetoes.
Yeah.
That's because that's really all he can do.
Right.
He can't write the legislation. He can't demand the legislation. He can't get the legislation through Congress by himself.
Yeah.
But he can veto it or sign it into law.
Now, sometimes you'll see articles like this where, you know, he is making sure not to give the money to the post office so that he can have an effect on the fraudulent voting that's about to take place. Okay? The mail-in vote. Now, we all know budgets are made ahead of time. The post office already has his budget. But the fact that he's saying that, now some people could say, well, he's just saying that it's all words. Another person could come along and say, yeah, but have you ever heard presidents you know, threaten like that on something like that, they usually wouldn't. Okay, they'd leave it alone, and they would let you think that universal mail-in voting was just going to be just fine. He hasn't been saying that all along. And that's why it gets complicated, because I think there are assumptive places we go when we think about the power of the president. And when they're a willing person that wants to go along with the powers that be, a lot gets done, and a lot gets done in the Marxist Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And when you see the pushback, usually presidents aren't showing publicly that kind of pushback. So that's been a different angle. That's been something I've kept my eye on too, is how much public pushback is he giving? Because they usually won't. They usually won't. How many times has he talked about the climate change sham? How many times has he talked about all of the collusion and everything else going on right now with all the people that we've talked about on the show this week, Comey and all the rest? I mean, come on. There's been a lot of that.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, and last night when Biden was giving his speech, he brought up climate change.
Mm-hmm.
And he said President Trump thinks it's a hoax.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So do a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, but Biden, he's all with it. I'm for, you know, we have a climate change problem here.
Of course he is. And he can't wait to spend trillions telling you that he's solving problems in climate change arena. It's absolutely ridiculous. But I really do try to keep a pretty level head on thing by thing, because I do know how many people are in power that cannot, that you just can't dismiss them. And along the way, we aided and abetted the system that we have now.
Oh, yeah.
So we have to take responsibility for that as well.
But we talk about the president as if he's a king.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a king.
Mm-mm.
You can't treat him like a king. You can't fault him as if he was a king.
Yeah.
He doesn't have that much power.
Right. And just like under, heaven forbid, Kamala or Biden, same thing. It's the Congress, the Senate, the governors that are going to have the most effect on our personal lives. If they follow the Constitution, right? If they follow that. Now, some won't, but I'm just saying if they do, then it's going to be those people, your mayors. And we found that out during COVID, didn't we?
Yep, we sure did.
So it's a scary premise to think that your governor, who you think, you know, basically has been, you know, they run the state, but it's kind of, I don't know, it almost seems like they could just be a placeholder a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But man, when it push came to shove, your governors were willing to lock you down so quickly, your head spun, right?
Still.
And will in the fall. We're looking at another one. Remember I said, you know, I'm betting that they're going to say flu season comes early this year. In September. They can't wait to do it again unless we give the pushback that's needed. It still is up to the people, you guys. It's still up to us.
I've been following that case in New Jersey, those two guys that own that gym.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, are they getting it. And it has nothing to do with the president, the Congress. It has to do with the governor of New Jersey.
Yeah.
What a tyrant that son of a gun is.
Yes. I'll defend President Trump when I think that he's getting kind of the blanket assumption, because I do think if we can talk more in taking that apart in pieces, then we can assign blame. Assigning blame on the USMCA deal, yes, assign blame there. But there's many, many things that I would not assign him the blame, because he gets the blame on things that he should never get, and that should go to the governors. Mm-hmm. So just so you guys know where I'm at, it's piece by piece. What are we talking about?
Yep.
And when I realized that he might not be able to just fire Fauci, that was interesting. So and that there were other people that decided that Fauci would get that microphone on a daily basis during COVID. So, you know, there, I think there are some cases like that. We have to take a look at that, whether you want to or not, on both sides. All right, be right back. Let's talk China, war, what that could mean, and all kinds of stuff coming up on The Kate Daly Show, katedalyradio.com. Don't go anywhere.